gatto, mistero batto.
Tomo l'origato, kick to me radio, da 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 da.
Welcome, 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 geeks and nerds, girls and boys, to another all-new edition of Geek to Me Radio. Today, we are joined by co-executive producer and writer for The Simpsons, Joel H. Cohen, talking about his book, How to Lose a Marathon. We'll then be joined by actor-director Michael Rosenbaum, talking about his career and his new podcast, Inside of You. Stand by.
We're talking TV, comics and movies, and video games. Star Trek from Star Wars, we'll try to explain. There are 12 doctors, 4 Hogwarts houses, 1 ring rolls and more. To be the greatest Pokemon master, you must catch them all. You must catch them all. Try to catch them all. Gotta catch.
And as every week, we thank you for listening. If you're hearing this on the podcast version, Google Play or iTunes or Podomatic, thank you very much. If you're listening live on 95.1 FM, 1260 AM, we appreciate that as well. Jam-packed show, so we are going to, with no delay, get right to our first guest. The co-executive producer, writer for The Simpsons, Joel H. Cohen, is here talking about his brand new book, which is hilarious, How to Lose a Marathon. Joel, thanks for being on air with us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Not at all, not at all. So I read your book and I sat down. I'll be honest, I'm not a huge book reader. I'm a comic book guy. If it's got pictures, I'm great. But your book was quite the page turner. It's hilariously written and it just kind of just pulls you in chapter by chapter. What was the, how long did it take for you to write the book and complete it?
Well, also, don't forget the crappy pictures in my book as well. Let's not ignore those.
There are pictures, that's true.
There are pictures. It took me, I kind of wrote it over the course of, I would say, even a year, year and a half. I ran the marathon in 2013, but started kind of recognizing some of the ridiculousness of it as it was happening and just jotting down ideas, and then kind of got more serious about seeing if I could put it all together into a book, although it's quite a short book. And then by the time it was, you know, by publisher, it still takes a year to come out. So it took me about a year is the short answer to a good question.
Okay, so you were kind of making notes because when you were doing the process, obviously, because it seems like you're almost writing this as you are building up to the marathon. So was that kind of always the idea of, hey, this might make a good book? Or was it kind of towards the end of it where you said, no, let's get this together?
No, I'd had a contact with a magazine. I'm Canadian. It's a Canadian running magazine that approached me about doing an article about it. So I was kind of making notes and just funny thoughts for myself and the notes for the article, and it got to be quite long, and so long that it turned into a short book instead of a long article.
Okay, well, that's, and it reads, like I say, I hesitate to use the words page-turner because that sounds kind of cliche, but I just, you know, flipped through it and I think I read the first 12 chapters in one sitting, so it is a fast read.
It is made to be enjoyed on the toilet, so thank you.
Well, I won't tell where I read it, but we'll just leave it up to everyone's imagination.
Yeah.
So being a writer, I guess, did this come easy for you? It's obviously different writing a book than it is writing for a TV series. Was it rewarding? Was it challenging?
It was great. You know what? Actually, I found it really rewarding because I do work in TV. I've worked on The Simpsons for 17 years and other TV shows and movies and stuff. And the process is so different and so collaborative in a good way, but also in a bad way, in that, you know, you never really can, if you really, really feel strongly about something, it still is subject to the opinions of everyone else and, of course, the person writing the show or the movie. Where the book, you know, the first draft, at least, was just me editing myself, which was very freeing and very fun. And then, of course, once the publisher got involved, this editor, Samantha Weiner, who was great, just she had a lot of thoughts and cuts, but nothing, if I really felt strongly about something, they would let me go with it. So in that sense, it's very different from a book or certainly a movie.
Sure, sure. And I was taken, too, because some of the stuff you write about is stuff that, again, as a non-runner, I don't think about, like all the different types of shoes. You talked about is it a sublimation type thing? They watched your feet on the treadmill when you were running to get you the right kind of shoe. And you don't think about all the stuff that goes into it. Were you surprised by how, I guess, overwhelming it almost seems like just running can be.
Yeah, I mean, what I came to realize is that any sport, even one that seems as simple as running, people have found a way to sell you garbage along the way. there's tons of equipment and tons of merchandise and tons of opinions. And I just, it was almost fun just kind of being a part of that world and talking to other runners and then going to a running store and just seeing the stuff they sell that you would never even think that you would need. And they're selling it. So it was interesting, fun, and could have been expensive was I not such a cheapskate.
And I'm not a runner. I'm not athletic. So I kind of related to you in that aspect, how you talked about growing up and not being good really at sports, but you do play hockey.
Well, the word play is very generous. No one on my team would ascribe that to me. I still enjoy going out and playing on this team. The team is aging, as am I, as are we all during this podcast, during this radio program. But I still play. I've maintained a level of horribleness for about 25 years, which I'm hanging on desperately before I sink to another level. But I still like to go out and do it.
Maintaining is good. I'm told that's better than losing a step, maintaining.
Well, that's all I can hope for these days. And even that feels like it's slipping from my grasp quickly.
So when you were writing the book, the people on your team, did they give you trouble? Were they supportive? Were they what'd they have to say about it?
Yeah, I'd say I didn't really talk about it too much with the guys on my hockey team, but where I did talk about it a lot was the people I work with at the writer's room at The Simpsons. And they were first shocked that I, this guy they've seen eat a trough full of Doritos every day, was thinking about running a marathon. But then they, of course, were very supportive, and there's a way to watch kind of mile by mile on the computer how someone's doing, and they were all very fascinated watching, waiting for my imminent death. And then when I finished, there was, you know, very, very overwhelming and touching, response when I got back to the writer's room. So it was good. It was a real team support system.
That's nice. I haven't finished the book, so without spoiling anything, are you still running? Are you planning to, is there another marathon in the future? Is there a second book?
In what could be the weakest cliffhanger ever in popular entertainment, I will leave that for you to find out.
Okay.
I finished the New York Marathon, and then I have dabbled in a couple other marathons. How about that? But you'll see what happens at the very end of the book.
But you are still, because you mentioned it a couple times, running becomes an addiction. It's beating your own time. It's doing that. So you're still running, though. You're still moving forward, making progress.
Yeah, I'm still running, but I'm proud to say that addiction has been cured. It was the easiest addiction to get rid of. I wish everyone addicted to anything could get rid of it as quickly as I got rid of running. I still run a little bit, but nowhere near what I was running to train for the marathon, and even after. I've kind of leveled off back to a comfortable level of sloth.
Good. The comfortable level is good. As long as you're not just completely giving in to the slothness, that's good.
Well, it's coming. I mean, if we were talking in a week, who knows? You'd hear an iron lung surrounding me.
Right. Well, we'll keep an eye on Facebook, and we'll keep you in our prayers and thoughts for that.
Thank you.
So talking about your writing, too, on The Simpsons, you've written quite a number of episodes, and I know it's probably like, I like asking writers this, if you have a favorite episode that you've written or one that's especially dear to you?
Yeah, I mean, I have a couple. I've 28 have been produced, and I have two more that are in production right now, so there will be 30 quite soon. But a couple of them that jump out that I would say are kind of my favorites is there was one that was just on this last year. If anyone is a sports fan or a fan of this ESPN series 30 for 30, I did an episode which was based on a 30 for 30 and told in a documentary style about Bart shaving points in the elementary school basketball team for the Mafia. So that was kind of fun. And then about maybe 3 or 4 years ago, I read another one called Homer the Father, where Homer starts parenting Bart based on advice he's gleaned from like a cheesy 80s sitcom. So that was fun, too.
And I know that you worked on some of the Treehouse of Horrors. I'm always surprised because you always think that, well, they're not going to be able to top that for the next season. But it seems like the Treehouse of Horrors is always one of those highly anticipated episodes of The Simpsons. Do you or any of the other writers ever get frustrated and is like, oh, do we have to do this again this year?
I've been lucky enough to write a lot of them. I actually don't have the one that's on this October, but I will have the one the following October, which we're actually working on in the writer's room yesterday and will be on Monday as well. It's incredibly challenging because not only do you have to find one story, like for a regular Simpsons episode, you have to find one story that hasn't been done before, but for Halloween, you have to find three, and it's really hard. That said, I will tease listeners. The Halloween that's going to be on this October, we have one story that I am going to say is maybe the funniest, one of the best Halloween segments we've ever had. And
really?
Know when they see it. Yeah, we have a terrific, terrific. The whole script is written by a great writer, John Frank, and it's all funny, but there's one that I just think really stands out as shocking and hilarious.
Cool. That's something to look forward to. And it's high praise because, like I said, they are so well received each year. And I'm always astonished that it always seems to get a little bit better each one. So we'll look forward to that in October.
For sure.
And we are talking again with Joel H. Cohen. Again, How to Lose a Marathon. If people want to find the book out there, if people want to get a copy so they can read this that we've talked about, what's the best way for them to go about finding the book and reading it?
I mean, everywhere online, of course, without naming any giant websites named after rainforests. But also, if people can find a bookstore, I hope it's in the bookstore. I'd love to support a bookstore, but it is, of course, available online easily, and you could have it in your hands and throw it out 3 days later.
Perfect. For those of you who want to go old school and actually get the book, the physical book, which I like doing, I don't like doing it online, make sure you check with a local bookstore, or as he said, Amazon. There's another way to do it online.
Oh my God. You broke the code.
Sorry. Joel Cohen, we appreciate you coming on the air. Thank you so much, and we look forward to seeing more of your work as The Simpsons goes on.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Take care. And Joel H. Cohen, again, the book How to Lose a Marathon. Be sure to pick that up or find it online. We are going to take our first break. We'll be back right after this with Michael Rosenbaum, so stand by.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman. You're listening to Geek to Me Radio.
Welcome back. Thank you to our last guest once again, Joel H. Cohen, writer of How to Lose a Marathon. We're going to go right to our next guest. You'll know him from, gosh, just about everything. He's been in movies, TVs, he's directed. He's got a brand new podcast called Inside of You, which is fantastic. We are joined right now by the one and only Michael Rosenbaum. Thanks for being on air with us.
James, thanks so much. Do you mind if I have one last chip before we start the interview?
No, feel free. Feel free. I'll vamp for a bit while he crunches. Now, I got to ask, what flavor of chips? What brand and what flavor?
Oh, that's some avocado oil barbecue chip. Believe it or not, it tastes delicious.
Where do you find that? I'm like Lay's salt and vinegar. You're all fancy chips.
You know, sometimes I try to eat. I love chips, so if I, you know, I try to at least eat a somewhat healthy chip. It's called Good Health. I don't know, kettle style chips, avocado barbecue, James.
Huh.
All I could tell you.
I'll have to look that up. That sounds pretty good. And feel free to keep eating while we're on air, because I don't think there's only three people listening, I'm sure, so it's not going to affect anybody.
Oh, there's more than that. My mom's on there, my dad, my cousins.
Oh, perfect. All right, so we're up to about eight today. That's great.
So
where to begin? I guess I saw you in Denver at the Denver Comic Con, which was so much fun seeing everybody. We only missed Carl Lumley, but the rest of your Justice League compatriots were there. And that's the first time you guys have been together since New York Comic Con about 3 years ago, correct?
Yeah, and I wasn't even in New York
at
the New York Comic Con, but I this was the first time we all. It's funny, I'm looking at all my Justice League porcelain or these little figurines I have in my office. You know, the fitting, your show, Geek to Me Radio, it's very fitting because if you look at my office right now, there's all these action figures of Justice League. There's me with the Flash. I didn't autograph it, but I had the rest of the cast autograph their characters and a lot of Star Wars and things. I'm a bit of a child. But the New York Comic Con, I didn't get to go, so this one was really special, and I had no idea what we would be doing. And they said, we're going to be doing a live reading, all of us, the original cast, in front of like a couple of thousand people. And I go, what? So I grabbed the script and we just kind of looked it over real quick and then read it. And it was just a packed house. And I couldn't believe, I just didn't realize, you know, Justice League Unlimited. I mean, it's been years since we were recording, and you never, when you're doing it, you never know if people are going to really respond or how much they're going to like it. And the response was just overwhelming. I couldn't believe it. I tweeted a picture and of the crowd behind us. And
yeah.
I just saw how their eyes light up and how excited they were. And it made me feel really good that we were doing something right. And having Andrea Romano direct it, she's been our director for years, and she's just amazing. And so it was just a real treat to work with, you know, Kevin Conroy again. And Michael, how are you? And I just was in Ireland with him at another Comic-Con.
Yeah, Dublin, so, that's right.
You know what's fun is going to these Comic-Cons and, like, not only talking to the fans and, and hanging out and signing autographs and talking. But it's meeting other, like, people that you actually were fans of growing up, or like you see someone, you're like, oh my God, that's the Game of Thrones, that's the Mountain, I'm hanging out with the Mountain, holy shiz. So I geek out and I try to act cool, but the geek always comes out.
It sounds like you and I must have similar office setups, because my wife is always like, is there a child in the house? Is that why there's all these toys and everything in your office? I'm like, no, it's my stuff. But
yeah, I always make the excuse, like, people come over and I'm like, it's just my office that has all the stuff. The rest of the house is kind of mature, right?
Right.
So it's all right.
We all have to
have
a place.
Don't let that inner child escape you, James.
No, exactly.
The inner child, brother.
Exactly right. That's my motto, believe me. And talking about all the other shows, first of all, I do want to say, I'll say it again, I'm sure, before we go off the air, but thank you for coming on. You are very generous with your time. I know Andrea Romano had great things to say about you. We had her on the air about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and she was very complimentary. And I listened to the podcast of your talk with Eli Roth, and just to hear, you know, you guys are friends, but to hear how he always thought you were generous, and you were the first one of the group to make it big after Smallville, and it's got to be very heartwarming for you to know that everyone who you come in contact with says such great things about you.
Well, you don't expect that, and it's hard for me to swallow. I was sort of insecure growing up, and it to take a compliment, it just kind of goes in one ear. I'm like, you're like, oh, thanks, but no, it's like, you know, a pretty girl who's insecure, and you're like, you're gorgeous. You're like, no, I'm not. You know, people are like, oh, you're really a nice guy. I'm like, oh, no, I'm not really. You don't know me. But, you know, I'm doing this podcast now, and it's free on iTunes, Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum. And you can watch it on themichaelrosenbaum.com for free. And you can watch, we've actually filmed in my living room. But to invite all my friends, like Tom Welling, who's Superman,
yeah,
to have him on, and he hates doing interviews, and get really personal with him. And Eli Roth and the big comedians, and Henry Winkler the Fonz was just on, and Emily Kinney from Walking Dead just came over, and Chris Hardwick's coming on, and
nice.
And Jimmy Connors, the tennis great. And so having these people over, it's like this intimate setting, and, you know, it's for me, it's like a fanboy geeking out, but I'm asking, I feel like, the questions that people really want to know, and there's so many podcasts that, for me, I wanted to do a podcast where it was in my living room, it's chill, and I could say, hey, so why did you get married at such a young age? Why the hell did you do that to Tom Welling? And I was like, dude, come on, I don't want to talk about this. It's like, but you're divorced. And so we would he was just so humble, and people are so humble. And then when you hear, you know, they say nice things about me, like Eli, I was thrown off a little. I was taken aback because, you know, he's a big director, Hostel, and he's the new Death with Bruce Willis. And we talked about a few things. He offered me Hostel and Cabin Fever back in the day, and I couldn't do it because I was doing Smallville. So I was like, were you mad at me? Is that why you haven't asked me for any movie? Because I didn't do those. And I would ask him personal questions. But to hear how, you know, these are friends of mine, a lot of them, and some of them I don't know, and it makes me, you know, it's even more nerve-wracking to talk to your friends. But I always feel like the fly on the wall, and I want to ask questions that fans like me, I used to go to conventions before I became anybody. I would go to horror movie conventions and ask for autographs. And so I get it. So I wanted the podcast to be different. So
yeah, and it is. I feel like I'm sitting there listening in on this. It's almost like you guys aren't recording. I'm just listening in on a conversation you're having with these people. And it is, it's a really, it is unique because, like you said, there are so many podcasts out there, but this is someone like you who is well-known asking questions of other people, like you said, Emily Kinney and Eli Roth. And it's a really cool, like you're getting to listen in on something you're not supposed to be listening in on.
Yeah. You know, like yesterday, when I was talking to Henry Winkler, the Fonz. Everybody knows him, but he's been on Arrested Development, tons of movies, Scream. You know, I had to know. I was like, when you were the Fonz, before you got married, did you slay it? He's like, what do you mean, Michael? What are you talking about? I'm like, girls, did you get laid a lot? He's like, well, let's just say things changed. And I'm like, what do you mean things changed? Did you have any weirdos who ever say, put the coat on while we're doing it? He's like, you know, it might have happened. And things like that are the questions that I geek out to, and it might be a little inappropriate, but it's what I want to know. And so Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum, free on iTunes. Yeah, so it's a blast. I hope it catches on, because we're really doing it for fun, and you know, people are really digging it. So thanks for listening.
No, absolutely, and it's you even got your own Twitter handle for it. If they want to find it quickly, they can just @InsideOfYou.
Yeah, I think the Twitter is InsideOfYouPod @InsideOfYouPod. But you can find it on iTunes and the story. Just go to podcast. It's free. Subscribe, write a review. It's just Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum, and you can watch it. So if you want to watch my living room with me and Henry Winkler or Tom Welling, you could actually watch it on, go to my website, dmichaelrosenbaum.com, and just go to podcast, and it's very easy and fun. So, yeah, it's awesome.
Now I'm going to ask if you can do at least one of these episodes that you video in your office so that people can see your office. That way I can have my wife watch it.
Yeah, all the guests come in here, and they're just like, wow, dude, you haven't grown up. I'm like, nope, I got a Rambo lunchbox signed by Sylvester Stallone, and I just worked with him in Guardians of the Galaxy, and he signed it, and he goes, why do you have a lunchbox? You're 45 years old. You got a lunchbox, a Rambo lunchbox? I'm like, yeah. You want me to sign this? Yeah. All right, I'll sign it. I was like, fine, I don't care.
That's actually a really good impression, too. So I know you do stand-up comedy. Do you specialize in impressions other than Sly Stallone?
You know, I just started 6 months ago, and I got to tell you about stand-up comedy. It is the hardest thing in the world to do because you're going up there and making people laugh 15, 20, 25 minutes, and it's even harder when you go up and you're somewhat of a name. Like, I'm not a huge name, but I'm somewhat of a name. So they say, oh, from so-and-so, Lex Luthor from Smallville. And you're going up with these huge comedians like Joe Rogan and Judd Apatow and Sarah Silverman and Nick Swartz and Bobby Lee and Harlan Williams, and they're like, Michael Rosenbaum. And you're like, yeah, it's intimidating.
Yeah.
And I think I'd rather sometimes go, God, I wish I was just starting this and I was in the middle of Burbank, and if I bombed, it wasn't a big deal. But, you know, it's these stand-up comedians are brave souls, and a lot of them are tortured spirits. And, you know, it's late nights doing stand-up at the Comedy Store at 1 in the morning, and I really respect them, and I've been up probably 50 times now, and it's something, you know, that I'm enjoying, but I do throw up occasionally, and I'm not just saying that because it sounds funny. I throw up, and I'll have explosive diarrhea right before I go on stage, and, you know, my therapist says it's good for me. It's challenging me.
I'm like, wait,
the diarrhea and the throwing up's challenging me? That's healthy? It's like, yeah, it's good for you.
It raises your metabolism, if nothing else. I mean...
Yeah, with all these barbecue flavored chips here, James.
And you've got a good comedic sense of timing. I know M. Pastor, both Andrea and George, when we interviewed them at Denver, said they enjoyed that quite a bit. So obviously you got great comedic timing.
Well, you know, M. Pastor was a great show that we did for 2 years. And if anybody wants to check it out. You can check it out on YouTube or Hulu or any of that. But it's one of these shows we did for 2 seasons. And Sarah Rue and Mircea Monroe and Mike Kaczynski, we just had a blast doing it. We did 20 episodes, and, you know, it was fun to be the lead. It was kind of a Fletch-like character. I'm a big Chevy Chase fan, so I like physical comedy. I like to show my ass. It's a little dark. TV Land, believe it or not, let us do what we wanted. They let us say some curse words and get away with some pretty crazy stuff. And, you know, every time you do something, whether it gets canceled or not, I feel like you build a relationship with someone. And the producer, Eric Tannenbaum, called me and goes, what are we doing next? And I pitched the show to him, and the next thing you know, Rob Greenberg is directing the new Overboard, and was a head writer on Frasier, and Chris Harris, who's like, ran How I Met Your Mother, and we're all chatting now about a new show for me. So I pitched it to him, and hopefully that's going to really come to fruition quickly. And, you know, it's all about relationships, you know, in life in general, but especially in this business. If you're fun to work with and people like you and you have any talent, they're going to want to work with you again, hopefully. So it's cool.
Very cool. And we're going to take our next break. You mind sticking with us for one more segment?
Oh, hell yeah. Maybe two. Who knows?
Perfect. All right. We are talking with Michael Rosenbaum. We'll be right back after this. So stand by.
Great Hera. May the Force be with you. This is Susan Eisenberg, voiceover actress, and you are listening to Geek to Me Radio.
And we are back live on air right now with Susan Eisenberg's Justice League cohort, Michael Rosenbaum, voice The Flash. And one of the best episodes, in my opinion, Michael, was The Great Brain Robber, where you and Lex Luthor actually switched places, and you were voicing, obviously, in the body of Lex, and you were playing Lex Luthor in Smallville. So what was that episode like?
You know, it was the whole thing's weird. I mean, by the way, to lay in the role of Lex Luthor on Smallville and then saying, hey, they want to read you for The Flash for the Justice League and going in for Bruce Timm and Andrea Romano. And I'm saying, okay, read this line. And I'm like, okay, hey, Batman, what's going on? Hey, read it with more energy. Hey, my, hey, Batman, it's my, you know, it's Flash. And I just kept doing it, and they're like, great. And I left, and I was like, okay. And then they're like, okay, now you're the Flash. You got the part. I'm like, what? You know, it's pretty crazy. And the episodes we did, I was filming Smallville at the time, but coming down and you know, sometimes I get to record with the whole cast. And the great brain robbery in the Justice League was probably my favorite episode, too. And it was tricky because, you know, I'm sitting there with Lex Luthor, Clancy Brown.
Yeah.
I'm Lex Luthor, but I'm playing the Flash. So I have to, you know, I have to hear him say a line, and then I'd say it with his sort of cadence. But, you know, we switched brains. So it was this weird thing, and he'd listen to how I'd say it, and he'd try to have that energy. But with the, it was just this weird dynamic, and it's a fan favorite. So, you know, it was definitely a blast. It was a blast doing it. That's just such a, it's such a gift when you're, you know, an actor. I remember being in college doing plays, and to think I'd be in a studio just recording an animated series that was so popular, and, you know, working with like Mark Hamill and
yeah,
all these greats that would, you know, William Catt, the greatest American hero, would come in, and all these, you know, the guy who played the, you know, oh, wait, was he a great big fan person in Silence of the Lambs? yeah, like, it's just like, what? What is going on here? I'm very lucky.
Yeah, that was such an iconic series, and it's still so beloved that it must have been very rewarding, especially with all the, like you said, different celebrities who came in. Nathan Fillion voiced Vigilante. Had a bunch of great people.
And I got to do, like, other voices. Bruce would say, hey, for the Scarecrow, do your Christopher Walken. I go, Batman, this is great. Listen to me. You're going to die. And he go, do your Kevin Spacey for Deadshot. No, you listen to me. And I would do this whole thing like, Batman, you don't know what you're... And then he would say, oh, do your mouth. And it was just like, it was fun. It was like, it was Christmas every day.
And we actually had a Facebook question from listener Jeff Vore. He said, speaking of Christopher Walken, he loved Pool Hall Junkies and yeah, wanted to know how it was working with Chris. And when you were doing it at the time, did you know how much of a cool thing it would be for so many people?
You know, in this industry, in this business, you do a lot of projects, and some are terrible and some are great and some are really good but never seen. And I think Pool Hall Junkies was, you know, me, the late Rod Steiger, who won an Academy Award, and Christopher Walken and Chaz Palminteri. And Pool Hall Junkies was one of those little independent movies that you shoot, and people still come up to me to this day, and they go, I love that movie. And I'm like, man, thank you so much. I wish more people would see it. It was a really fun movie, and working with Walken, Chaz Palminteri the first day was like, hey, let's go next door. I'm like, why? There's a gun range. We're going to shoot guns. And I was like, okay. And Walken was like, you know, and believe it or not, I wasn't even playing the Flash. I don't know what this was, but I said, oh, my God, I'm Michael Rosenbaum. I'm working in this movie with you. Should I call you Chris? Should I call you Mr. Walken? And he goes, I don't know. Call me Flash. I don't even know what he was referring to, but maybe he knew something I didn't. But and then he walked away.
He's a very wise man, that Christopher Walken. Maybe he could foresee. And talking about the movies you worked on, Guardians of the Galaxy, how hard was that for you to keep that under wraps? Because I know you, I think it's still your pinned tweet on your Twitter page.
I just changed it to my podcast, Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum. But it was until recently, yes. Guardians of the Galaxy was just, look, it's like I can only imagine sort of like what Star Wars was like in a way back when.
Mm-hmm.
And people, the response to it is just overwhelming. And you know, James Gunn's a good friend of mine, so that's the great thing in this industry. If you know, James and I were working and we just became good friends, and you know, down the road, all of a sudden he gets Guardians of the Galaxy. So I tested for the lead role, and I didn't get it. I think they had a problem with casting, you know, me as, you know, because of the DC character, the DC Lex Luthor as the lead, but also Chris Pratt was brilliant, and no one could, you know, top his performance. But I never ask my friends for roles. They're my friends. That's how it is. Let's go have lunch. Let's hang out.
Right.
And one day James called me and said, hey, Rosenbaum, I got this cool role. It's one of the original Guardians in Stan Lee's comics, Martin X. And I'm in. He's like, what? I'm already in. He's like, listen, it's a small role in this one. You got three seeds with Stallone. In. Hang on. And, you know, you're going to be in the end credits, which actually we weren't even in the end credits when I did it. I just went to Atlanta. They put some dots on my face, created this crystal-like Martin X with Ving Rhames and Stallone.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then they called me a couple months later and go, hey, it tested really good. We're going to add a scene to the end credits with you. And I'm like, yes. And I get to say dope, which is really cool at the end of the movie. And he's like, listen, you know, I think you should do it, and who knows what will happen. But, you know, maybe you can come back. And I'm like, I'm in. I told you I was in 20 minutes ago. So it was pretty awesome. I went there, and I worked with greats, and James is such a great director, and he's so, you know, he's so smart, and he just knows what he wants, knows what he's doing, and he's so gracious and giving. And he's going to be on my podcast, too. Did I mention that?
Fantastic.
So, yeah.
That'll be a good one to look forward to. And I know Disney is very, very strict with their non-disclosure things. I take it you are in Infinity War in some aspect?
I don't know. I honest to God don't know anything.
Okay.
All I could tell you is I hope I'm in something. I hope, because look, at the end of Guardians premiere, we went to the premiere and I wore a suit, which is very rare for me. Stallone came up to me and goes, Michael. I'm like, yes, Fly. He goes, we're coming back, right? I'm like, you're Sylvester Stallone. I'm Michael Rosenbaum, okay? Maybe you should tell him. He goes, you're right. But we got to be coming back. I mean, they brought us at the end. You know, the parts weren't that big, but they, you know, people like it, you know. And so I can only hope that they will bring us back for some fun stuff. But I don't know the answer to that. And if I did, I probably would get killed if I told you. So,
right.
But I really I don't know the answer to that. So I hope so.
Very cool. Well, we hope so as well. And because the Guardians who you portrayed there were the Guardians I grew up reading in the 90s with that comic book series. So I was very excited to see all of you together. And once again, I'll let you go. I don't want to keep any more than I have already on your Saturday. Tell people again where all they can find you. And if they want to try to check out your band, The Sandwich, where can they find?
Oh, yeah. My band is The Sandwich. If you like a little 70s Southern rock mixed in with some 90s Wallflowers-ish. We're a fun little band. We just play in my basement, but we're playing at the Hotel Cafe the 29th of this month, and it's going to be a lot of friends and people there, so come cheer us on. We're going to play four or five songs before Jason Mann's band Station Breaks. And go to my website, themichaelrosenbaum.com, and you can watch all my podcasts, check out updates, and you can also listen on iTunes. It's all free. My Instagram is also themichaelrosenbaum. I'm going to Atlanta for Dragon Con in a couple of weeks.
Oh.
And life's good. I'm having fun. I got my dog Irv here sitting next to me, and I appreciate everybody tuning into the podcast, because it's really special, and I think people are enjoying it. And James, this has been a real pleasure. I'm glad we met. I'm glad you have me on here. And you know, it's all about, you know, you just got to keep doing it. It's like, you know, you keep doing the show, I'm going to keep doing this podcast, and things happen. People catch on, man. People catch on.
Exactly. That's what I'm hoping. Someday I'll catch on. Who knows?
You're catching on. You're catching on.
And I'm excited that you'll be at DragonCon. We're actually broadcasting our show live from there that Saturday. So if you have a chance in your crazy schedule, have you jump on air with us?
I'd love to. I'd love to do that.
All right. Perfect. Michael Rosenbaum, thank you so much for your time.
Hey, it was a treat. Thanks so much, guys. Oh, and check out The Neighbor. It's a new movie that's coming out on video on demand.
Perfect.
Bill Fichtner.
We'll watch for that one as well.
All right.
Michael Rosenbaum, thank you so much. We are going to take our next break. We'll be back with more right after this, so stand by.
Hi, this is Jonathan Katz, and you are listening to Geek to Me Radio, coming to you live from your radio or your computer. It's a show you can listen to. You see what I'm saying? You can hear it. This is something you shouldn't expect to see anything. It's a radio show.
Jonathan Katz, star of Dr. Katz, professional therapist back in the day from Squiggle Vision. That was a great show. If you want to hear any of our other shows, I know we've had a couple people message me on Twitter when I was tweeting that we're having Joel H. Cohen and Michael Rosenbaum on. And they said, oh, I got to work at 4 o'clock Eastern. I can't. Find us on iTunes. Find us on SoundCloud. Find us on Podomatic. Find us on Google Play. We always list the show. Joey V, my executive producer, puts everything up lightning quick. And then I'm the turtle. I slowly get it up on Podomatic. But it's usually up by Sunday evening. So if you have the chance, if you're listening right now, please go and find us on iTunes. Find us on Google Play. Find us on SoundCloud. Find us on Podomatic. I think we're now on TuneIn app. If you look for the TuneIn app, you can find us there. And subscribe, please. And also, leave us a favorable review, because that helps us out. So we appreciate all that. And for all those of you who already subscribe and who already follow me on Twitter, at Geek2Me Radio, on Instagram and on Facebook, again, at Geek to Me Radio. We appreciate all the support and love that you give this show. And I try to get guests on who I know you'll like. The people we've had on today have been exceptional. Joel H. Cohen. And you want to find his book, How to Lose a Marathon. Michael Rosenbaum, his podcast, Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum. You want to show some love to our guests as well. But we appreciate your listening each week. And we would not be on the air without the help of our sponsors. Historic St. Charles. You go to their website, Discover St. Charles. That's discoverstcharles.com. And check out everything there is to see and do in St. Charles. Then there's a lot to see and do. They've got their Legends and Lanterns Festival coming up. If you're a fan of Halloween, and I'll tell you, it's my favorite holiday. Halloween is great. I love it. I love getting dressed up. It's to this day, I still like cosplaying. I get in my Han Solo, Bespin Han Solo outfit. I dress the dog up like Yoda and I go out. Legends and Lanterns, you can wear a costume down there. It's like Christmas traditions, except for Halloween. All up and down the cobblestone streets, they've got live characters. They've added some new historical characters, like Baron Samedi will be there this fall. They've got Guy Fawkes. They've got all sorts of cool characters that you can interact with, and he'll tell you their story. Edgar Allan Poe's walking up and down Main Street, for crying out loud. And it's a great setting to do this kind of thing, and we're so lucky to have historic St. Charles in a place like this in basically our backyard. I know a lot of people are like, I don't want to drive across the, I don't want to go over there. It's so much fun. It's a destination. And there's, like I said, so much to see and do. So check them out. The website again, discoverstcharles.com. Plan your trip. Check out all the events that are going on. Make sure you come out for Legends and Lanterns in the fall and have a bite to eat while you're on the cobblestone streets. Play in Frontier Park. Go nuts. Go crazy. Discoverstcharles.com. We are going to take our last break. We'll come back and wrap it up. I've got a few announcements to make, so stand by.
Hi, this is Shannon Farnan, the original voice of Wonder Woman, and you're listening to Geek to Me Radio.
That's right, we've had Shannon Farnan from the Super Friends Wonder Woman and Susan Eisenberg from the Justice League Wonder Woman. Now, Linda Carter, she's the next one I want to get. I'm going to put it out there now. Anyone who's listening who can help me land Linda Carter for the show, let me know. Send me an email, james@geektomeradio.com. Thank you again to our guests, Joel H. Cohen, Simpsons writer, and also his new book out, How to Lose a Marathon. Thank you very much to Michael Rosenbaum, actor, director, all-around fantastic guy, comedian, and musician. His band, The Sandwich. That's cool. That sounds like a great combination, the way he was describing the band. And I also want to remind you of a couple events. Tenacious Eats. You have still 2 weeks left to get tickets for their August 26th event, The Goonies. They show a film. They present this five-course delicious dinner. Chef Liz was in studio with us last week, and she went over the menu, and I was drooling the whole time. It was like Pavlov's bell ringing in here. I was salivating. But you can check out their website, tenaciouseats.com. Follow them on Twitter as well, and we'll hopefully see you at that August 26th event, for which tickets are still available. So make sure you grab those now, because they are going quick. Dragon Con, as Michael Rosenbaum mentioned, he and I will be attending Dragon Con. He'll be the one you want to see. I'll be the guy lurking, being like, hey, dude, get out of the way. But I'll be there regardless, and we'll be broadcasting our show live from the event in Atlanta. You can check out the website, DragonCon. I think it's a .org, actually. But that goes on August 31st through September 3rd. It's over Labor Day weekend. It's always a fun time. So make sure you check out that website. You can see all the people who are going to be there. Michael Rosenbaum, the aforementioned Nathan Fillion, writer Peter David, who wrote some of the best comic book storylines, Mark Begley, probably my favorite Spider-Man artist of all time. Sorry, Stanley. I know you wrote a lot of stuff, and you didn't get to write stuff for Mark, but Mark's a fantastic artist. His pictures would have gone great with your stories. Lots of other celebrities. Half the cast of Star Trek The Next Generation will be there, for crying out loud. Brent Spiner, Jonathan Frakes. By the way, happy birthday to Jonathan Frakes. Commander Riker, it's his birthday today. Gates McFadden, who played Dr. Crusher. Marina Sirtis, Counselor Troy. She'll be there. But there's a lot of, just a surprising number of people. If you go to the website again, DragonCon, check it out. They'll have the list of all the available celebrities, artists, writers, media personnel who you can see there. I'm not listed because I requested not to be in the directory. And they said, who are you again? But that's okay. I'll be there anyway, broadcasting live. And once again, we appreciate your listening each week. Make sure you're subscribing to us on iTunes, Podomatic, SoundCloud, Google Play. Leave us a good review. We appreciate that as well. Next week, we'll be back at the same time. We're going to do the Guardians of the Galaxy box. For those of you who followed us on Twitter, I almost forgot. Thank you, Joey V. We've got this Guardians of the Galaxy box from Original Funko. We're going to go to Periscope because I forgot like an idiot. So we'll do the drawing live on Periscope here in just a few minutes. So you can follow me there at Geek2Me Radio. You can see the drawing, so there's no funny business going on. We'll pull the name and send that to a lucky recipient. And the Instagram contest to win a copy of Guardians of the Galaxy 2, which Michael Rosenbaum was in as Martin X, will be closing today. We'll pick a winner for Instagram for that Blu-ray copy of Guardians of the Galaxy 2 available on August 22nd. For those of you who didn't win. And I think that's just about everything we've got. Again, we'll be on live next Saturday. I'm not entirely sure what I'm going to do yet because I think we're supposed to have Dan Carroll from Dragon Con come on air and kind of talk about the event, the festival down there. They have a parade. It's like I said, it's a huge deal. And we'll talk to him about that as well. And who knows, we'll get into some trouble, I'm sure. And then the next Saturday, we're broadcasting live from Dragon Con. Upcoming guests to look forward to. I've been talking to Bobby Moynihan's people. He's voicing Huey on DuckTales right now. He's got a new movie coming out as well, a new TV series. So we'll be talking to him sometime in September. The date's still up in the air, but make sure you stay tuned. Make sure you follow me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and subscribe to us on iTunes and Google Play. Until next week, my friends. Thank you, Smallville. Good night.